The next matter is Western National Assurance, Shelkin Construction. We're ready to go.
I'm Larry Linville. I represented Shelkin at the trial.
Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
5 minutes?
Okay. Thank you.
The policy defines property damage. And property damage can either be tangible, you know, damage, physical injury to tangible property, or loss of use of tangible property. Injury or loss of use. Western continually in their briefing goes back and forth. There is no injury to the land. It's the loss of use of the underlying 11 acres to support the construction of single-family residences on conventional foundations. Secondly, the policy says that it will pay, this is number one of the policy, they'll pay those sums, which is undefined in the policy, that the insured becomes legally obligated to pay as damages because of property damage, the loss of use.
So that the language you just cited is from the insuring clause, and so I assume, but probably need some clarification, that your argument relates to the duty to defend.
Yes.
So your argument, your primary argument is that the court erred in granting summary judgment because there is a duty to defend. When you look at the language used in the insuring clause and the allegations set forth in the complaint.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. That's it in a nutshell.
I don't want to derail you, but at some point, can you also address the exclusions? Because it's my understanding that there is also an argument that even if there's a duty to defend, that the exclusions preclude coverage.
They don't, and I'm happy to do that. But the property damage is a loss of use in and of itself without tangible injury to the land. And as for damages, and they're continually saying, well, we don't pay for diminution in value, and they cite these cases about loss of liquor license and that's all voodoo. It's crazy stuff. In the complaint, they allege loss of use, the diminution of value, but they said in the complaint, that's just one of the losses. They didn't say there were not other damages. They just said that was the one they're really barking about. Okay? And at the complaint, I mean, the complaint could not be clearer. The complaint on page 3, the employees removed the settlement markers without knowledge, so forth. This made it impossible to accurately measure the settling. There was therefore a total failure, total failure to meet the technical requirements of the job so that the property could be, quote, in the complaint, could be used, loss of use, used to construct the improvements on. Okay, then, I know you've done it, but you don't remember all this because you can't possibly remember, but on page 29 of their brief, they have hit it right on the money. This is Western's brief. This is their own language. Page 27. This is what they say in their brief. This is Western National. If there had been both allegations of physical injury to tangible property, which there was, settlement markers, removed, destroyed, hit, kicked, run over, if there had been both allegations of physical injury to tangible property and resultant diminution of value of property, then there could be property damage. Well, that's exactly what this whole complaint's about. Hit the settlement markers. Now we've got 6 feet of fill all over the property, and that's the loss. And because there's no settlement, you can't measure the fill. It's lost its use. That's exactly what the complaint alleged. And they're saying here there could be property damage. That's the duty to defend. Whether there is or there is not, that was, it could be. It's not a matter of conceivable. The Western National acknowledges it could be. They don't even use the word conceivable. So it's this secondary damage, the loss of use of the land for which compensation was sought as damages by the...
You can use your time however you choose.
Well, I'm going to talk about it. Well, should I wait for you to ask me about the exclusions? Which one, Bob?
It's up to you.
Well, if she doesn't, I'm going to, but you might want to address them in rebuttal. Just
okay.
It's up to you.
No. I'll wait, then I'll know what exclusion, so I don't run off on these at my 5 minutes.
Well, I'm focused on the exclusion for operations, so why doesn't...
The exclusion
flat exclusion for losses arising out of your operations not cover what happened here? I mean, I don't know what you end up with that's insured, if that's the scope of the exclusion, but that seems to me to be the clear scope of the language. And that's what you are. You're a dirt contractor, if I'm not mistaken, and what you did here was in the course of your operations as a dirt contractor.
Are you going to address that now? Or?
You can think about it.
Okay, I'll think about it. I mean, I have the answer, but I'd better think.
You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal, okay?
Good morning, Your Honor. It's John Hayes on behalf of Western National Assurance, the respondent. I'll address your question, Your Honor. It clearly applies. There isn't even any further analysis needed. Exclusion J, damage to property, excludes any damage to real property arising out of the operations of the insured, period. It's been parsed and applied in a number of cases in our state. There's no ambiguity to it. None is argued at all in anywhere in the brief. Clearly, they were working on real property. The so-called damage, which was the removal of sediment markers, occurred on that real property. Nothing could be clearer about applying the facts of what happened to the words of the insurance policy. The complaint is consistent with these facts. It simply states fill was put on the property by the contractor, who was our insured. The contractor, for whatever reason, removed settlement stakes, and to the extent there was loss of value of the land, it clearly arose out of the removal of the stakes. There's nothing ambiguous about the facts or the language. It's not the only exclusion that applies. There happens to be another one, exclusion M, which is damaged.
Well, if we agreed with you on J, would we reach M?
I'm sorry?
If we agreed with you about the exclusion under subsection J, would we reach the exclusion under subsection M?
No, Your Honor. The case could be decided on exclusion J, simply on the application of J to the facts. We don't need to find another exclusion. I simply point it out because we believe in this case, on these facts, it also applies.
So why does M apply?
M applies because there's no damage to physical property and there is loss of use. And in those circumstances, under J, it is excluded.
I'm sorry. I meant M. So why does M apply?
I meant M.
You apologize. Meant M? Okay.
Yes. my faux pas. If I can find it, I'll quote it. It's exclusion M has two parts. One is it excludes damage to impaired property, which has a definition. It also excludes damage to property that's not physically injured because of, and actually the policy uses the phrase arising out of, a defect in your work, plainly stated. And that's what we have here. We have alleged damage to property that is not physically injured arising out of Shelcon's defective work.
That's an argument. It strikes me that that circles back to your argument that this policy doesn't cover this loss because it's not property damage. And I'm not sure you want to go there because you're going to get in a big argument with me because I think that's absurd.
Okay.
Under the circumstances, in the modern parlance, you've got a property now with 6 feet of crap on it. To be blunt, it isn't the same property anymore. It's been tangibly injured. Any case in nuisance for flooding, any case for the against upland owners, all of which would point to the fact that you've altered the nature of the property and its use. And that's a loss to tangible property.
I guess, Your Honor, I would agree with you, but for one.
I've been foraging around in nuisance cases for reasons not related to your case. So.
There was a contract between the developer and Shelcon to put that dirt on the property, and Shelcon performed. The placement of the dirt is not at issue. Shelcon would have breached its contract if it had not put that dirt on the property. What it did in conjunction with doing that was remove the settlement markers. The dirt was going to be removed in any event after the property settled. So the dirt is frankly, a misdirection. It's not the nature.
The dirt was going to be removed?
It was going to be removed after the original native land settled. It's a way you create settlement to build.
You're trying to subsoil is what you're going to hit this.
Yes, and the subsoil is going to be depressed and consolidated.
Oh, now I get it. Okay.
So we're coming back to whether also the third prong of our argument, there has been property damage. The loss of use provision is the alternative to tangible physical property. In this case, and it's in the pleadings, the plaintiff A2 Venture sets forth the section counsel writ into the record, and they state it made it impossible to accurately measure the settling. And then it goes on to talk about what the loss was. The loss was, and I'm going to round numbers, the difference between $8.5 million sale and a reduced value to a $6.4 million sale. And in the prayer of the complaint, the underlying plaintiff asked for $2.1 million as the diminished value of the property. I think that underscores here we don't have a loss of use. We have a loss of profits to the developer. That's the measure of damages here. So we don't even get past the physical property damage as much as it may seem that a loss of profits can be a loss of use, but it's not. Clearly different. This property still had value. There were some offers made, and the value dropped. Parenthetically, although it wasn't in the complaint, the property was developed. It was in the findings of fact and conclusions of law submitted by counsel based on the underlying trial. They just used different methodology to build the homes. So I guess in closing, Your Honor, I would say on all three grounds you could find there's no property damage. Even if you did, Exclusion J clearly applies. The damage, whatever it may be characterized as, arose out of the operations of Shelcon.
And Exclusion J, is there a particular case or cases that you are relying on in support of your interpretation?
I believe, and I could be wrong because I don't have it off the top of my head. There was a case involved with Hartford and Ohio Casualty that applied the ongoing operations exclusion. And I hope I'm correct about that. If I'm not, I'll get it to the court.
Is that cited in your brief?
I don't know as I sit here.
Okay.
If there's no other questions, Your Honor, I'll sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You have your 5 minutes.
Exclusion M. Exclusion M. Impaired property. That's exclusion M. Impaired property is defined in the policy. Impaired property is tangible property that can't be used and so forth, and then A and B. If, the policy says if. Impaired property is property that can't be used. If such property can be restored to use by repair, replacement, or adjustment. The allegation of the complaint is you can't do it. You can't put in the settlement markers afterwards. It cannot be restored. If it could have been restored, Shelcon would have cleaned out 11,000 truckloads of dirt, carried it off, and started all over again. They could not do it. You cannot measure settling, putting settlement markers after the fact. That was the allegation of the complaint. That was what the trial was all about, 2 weeks in trial. Well, we can put them in it. But the allegation of the complaint that turned out unprovable by A2 was you cannot do this after the fact. And that is the definition of if such property can be restored to use. A2 said you can't do it. So M never covers, never under its own policy, the definition of it's an exclusion. Exclusions are the M exclusion. They're talking about the M exclusion on page 5 of 15. This exclusion does not apply to the use of other property, that's the 11 acres, arising out of a sudden or accidental physical injury to your product, the settlement markers. I mean, M couldn't apply in a million years. You're talking, not you, but Your Honor, you're looking at J5. You don't... There's two J's. Judge Schindler, you keep talking about J. There's actually two J. There's the J5 and a J6. They alleged both of them. J6 is the same as M. It never... J6. Under exclusions. J6. That particular, which can tie into your J5, that particular, which is the settlement markers, that's the particular work he was doing. He wasn't, though that's what it was injured, was the settlement markers, that particular part of any property that must be restored, repaired, or replaced because your work was incorrectly performed on it. The allegation in the complaint is the settlement markers could not be replaced. J6 does not apply, and that's the same reasoning as on J5. J5 says, but during the course of your operations. You know it can't be during the course of your operations. Why would anybody buy insurance? You buy car insurance and they say, well, if you're driving your car, there's no coverage. Come on. That's the J6. Here's where they get the operations language out of J5. I'm sorry, J5. The policy doesn't define operations anywhere. And it certainly does not exclude. They just say the policy excludes. Where? Where in the policy does it exclude damage you caused during the course of your operations? It doesn't. It pays for it. That's what you're insured for. J5 says, this is damage to property. Property damage to that particular, this is what's excluded. This is their exclusion. Property damage to that particular part of real property in which you or any contractors or subs working directly on your behalf are performing operations. That's the only part in this entire policy that talks about performing operations. If during your operations, this is my little example, scenario one and scenario two, about the carpenter drives the nail through the base, hits the plumbing line behind the, you know, the base, the cabinets, and it ruptures the line and it floods. And the carpenter sees it, he has to pull off, go down, turn off the water, clean it all up. That's all on him. That's all on him. There's no coverage for that. He's just picking up his mess, like the Vandervoort case. But you puncture the line and it's a slow leak. 3 years later, there's mildew and they open it up and all that damage there. That's the secondary damage. If it were to puncture the line, here's the water, clean it up. That's J6. That's the J6 exclusion. Clean up your own mess. Here, there was no cleaning up. A2 said you cannot put the settlement markers in after the fact and then the loss of use of the land. So, I mean, have I answered that? Or was that, you were on J5, wasn't that right, Your Honor?
Thank you, counsel. That concludes argument. We're adjourned.